So I was talking to a radio show host that I talk to each week, multiple times.
This is part of your Fat Guys at the Movies thing, where you spread the good, the bad, the ugly of what's going on in theaters or some semblance of crap like that.
Yeah, and it's entertainment reporting and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And one of the things I ended up, before we were on the air, I was talking about Adrian Cronauer. You know who Adrian Cronauer
is? I used to work with his son, I believe.
Really?
Yes, in Dayton, Ohio.
Oh, okay. Because I think it came up because I was talking to him, and I was still setting up my gear as we were getting ready to do this pre-record session, and I said, "Oh, I finished Adrian Cronauering, which means I can start recording now." And he didn't know what I meant. And I said, "Originally, Adrian Cronauer with the whole Good Morning Vietnam. Originally, he started doing that because when he'd get in right when his shift started." And he had to turn on things and put things in order and like get his papers set up and everything. So that's where he'd go, "Good morning, Vietnam." And that gave him a couple extra seconds so he didn't have dead air.
Right.
And that was just a little trick for him to not have to start talking yet.
Nice.
And if you go back and listen to the old Adrian Cronauer broadcasts, there certainly were not Robin Williams, you know. I mean, like the real genie in Aladdin was not like that, really. Robin Williams put some life into him, and the real Adrian Cronauer was not as crazy as Robin Williams made him in Good Morning Vietnam, the movie. And so, as I mentioned this, the host says to me that he used to see Adrian Cronauer. I don't think he used to work with him, but he used to see him in the 90s where he worked. And he said, "Well, he must not have sold his rights, you know, his life story for that much if he was still having to work in the 90s. And the question then came up to me when I said to him, "Like, well, what would you sell your rights for your life?"
Hmm.
You know, I mean, everybody thinks that their life's sort of interesting, but everybody also realizes their life's not interesting at all. What would be the number? Because then I got into discussion with him. Is I said, because this guy I know and I've known him for a couple of years, and he's got some really crazy stories. He's run into different people and he's worked in all these different positions and jobs and he's crossed paths with world leaders and celebrities. And I said, "Well, that's kind of an interesting life. What would you value that if somebody said, 'Hey, we want to make a movie of your life'?" So that's my question to you.
Mm-hmm.
Because it came out in that discussion that I had with this host is I said, "No matter what, you would undervalue it. You know, what would it be? Like, $50,000, $100,000, $500,000. And then if they made a movie and it made $200 million, you'd be like, "Damn it.
Well,
I could have held out for more."
For some reason, did I either read a book or was there a movie? And likely more the movie that I saw rather than a book, but I don't know anymore. I get lost track of what's what. I'm not saying it was drugs or the blunt head trauma, whatever. It's just what it is. But somebody sold the rights to their stuff. Of their life, and then they weren't supposed to be able to use the stories anymore in any capacity. And I can't remember the context of exactly.
Wait, you mean the person themselves?
Correct.
So, like, if you were to sell your life story, the Chubby and Stick podcast would essentially be over.
Well, I don't know. That's what I'm saying. Is it only past stuff? Would you have to scrub the history, anything that's out there now? You can't tell the story again? Is it still yours?
Well, if you sold the rights, that's their right to use that story.
I mean, I could...
Your awkward stories of running into people at convenience marts, you just have to go to new ones.
Well, look, I think we'd have to have some serious lawyering. I know a guy or a woman that could probably knock out some details and we could come up with a number as long as it would be... It's sort of like a... You know, like they could have it for a certain period of time, like rights to the story for a window of time to do whatever, then I get it. It reverts back to me.
That usually happens.
Right.
But,
so if we could do that.
I mean, seriously.
If they paid me enough money.
It would still go.
Look,
what are you going to do? Like make a new life story when you're 80?
Look, I don't even care. If they could give me enough money for 5 or 10 years. Let's be honest.
But that's my question.
I just hit a milestone.
If somebody came to you and said, "Oh my God, we love this show. It's amazing. We need to talk to you. Hell with that Chubby guy. We need your life story. We want rights to your life story. We're going to make movies and TV shows and books and merchandising."
Right.
What would you sell it for? What would you? Would you just be like, "It's got to be at least $150, man"?
Well, yeah, $150. I wouldn't even go to the corner store for $150.
All right. Well, what would you sell it for?
If I could have enough money to live for like a window of time that was reasonable, then absolutely they could have it. Pardon?
You'd sell it. You're talking like a couple million dollars?
Yeah, or even
really?
A million.
And what if somebody came to you and said $100,000, cash money, $100,000 for your life story?
To this point. And I couldn't use any of the stories. Again, this is lawyering, I know. And maybe this is not what you're wanting, but I mean, there's important details here. This is important stuff. So it's like, do I get it reverts back to me if they don't do anything with it over a
25-year exclusive?
I could be dead tomorrow. So for 25 years, let's just say reasonable. And I have no rights to any previous stories, but I can continue to live and tell my stories of everyday life?
Yeah, anything that happens after today.
For 25 years.
For 20, well, is it just, I'd say, give me a million dollars.
Give me $1 million, and you can have any story that I've uttered anywhere to this point in time, and I would do my best not to have it accidentally slip out of my mouth.
Really? Okay. So just for a flat million, that's everything for 25 years.
20 years.
Ostensibly to the end of your 20 life. 20 years. Because 20. Wait, really? You're gonna haggle those last 5 years? How old are you gonna be?
I don't know.
20 years, you're gonna be like, I'm sorry, here's what I'm looking at. Give me my Jell-O and my pudding.
Look, I can live cheap. And if I can continue to do whatever I want, live my life, and tell the story of me walking the earth as I know it right now, here, there, and everywhere and nowhere at this point in time, whether doing Shelby and Stick with you, Sterling, and which is me, but not me here now, somewhere else, then yeah, that's fine. I think we could work that out. But I mean, that number's always negotiable. I don't need somebody coming back, pulling this up, and throwing it in my face, saying, well, you said it here. There's no contract.
Well, I mean, yeah,
signed.
You said that I sold my soul to the devil for a chocolate cake.
Right.
The devil can't show up and be like, oh, that's a contract.
Right. What about you? You say that like that's unreasonable, and would you never do? You couldn't do it. I mean, for $1 million, I could disappear, go live. You know, I can build myself a nice 40-foot high cube container house on a pond, go fishing, hang out, still talk to you, and do this crap, and randomly do radio, which is like what I do now. I wouldn't need anything ever again. Everything else would be cake, and I still would have adventures because, let's be honest, every day some weird shit happens to me that is worthy of at least pondering conversation over drinks with friends, and that's all this is anyway.
I like the $1 million threshold, but I would do the $1 million threshold or negotiate whatever it would be that I would just get $1 million after net.
Right.
Whatever the number extra
would
be.
Net, of course.
Net. I don't want to be like, give me a flat $1 million and then this person takes a fee and I end up with $150,000.
See, this is good and this is fantastic why we talk, because this you're acting as a counselor.
Because this is a real possibility right now.
Right. Well, you don't have any idea. People sell stuff for tons of money on a regular basis to Hollywood types or whatever in publishing houses, and it never sees the light of day. That is not as outlandish as it sounds in by degrees of separation. Let's be serious. It'll never freaking happen, but it is possible that it could. The reality, you think it could never happen?
No, I'm not saying it couldn't happen. I'm just curious because it was an interesting conversation because my thought is that whoever you are, you're going to undervalue your life.
Yeah.
You're going to undervalue what it's worth. And it's also because like Adrian Cronauer, he sold the rights. I think he wrote a book and that's what it's based on.
Right.
But so there's negotiation with that. And then, of course, he could still be himself. So what would the number change if you sold the rights, but you could still talk about it?
Well, yeah, there's a variance in the value there. I mean, you know what that is? That's like Gallagher and Gallagher 2.
the comedian?
Yeah.
Old-timey, stripey outfit?
Like, if you go to, like, Bananas or Shakey's or the Laugh Stop or Wiley's Comedy Club, whatever the hell it is that is in your particular town where people go to see people do stuff on stage or a theater show, whatever the hell, for a period of time, there was Gallagher, and he was the big dollar act, and then I think it was his brother that I think they sued each other at some point in time, and it was Gallagher, too. So let's say for $25...
Wait, did Gallagher... I didn't know this. Did Gallagher... His brother just called himself Gallagher too and like did the same act?
Close to it, yeah.
Wow.
And so you could go see him for like say $10, and for like $20 or $25, you could go see the knockoff. Or you know, whatever that was, the bigger dollar one is.
You saw
the original
for more money, but
right.
But didn't he sue him for intellectual property?
Don't hold me to any of this. Use the www interweb and find out more facts on this. But yeah, there's something like that out there that happened. Wow. It's legitimate. So I mean, if I'm out there, doing...
I mean, this isn't like Sean Connery's brother doing a fake 007 movie overseas.
My guess is that the 007 people would come and like take his junk.
He actually made a movie called Agent 007.
Really?
And it was with like Chad Connery or whatever.
No.
His brothers. And they did it on Mystery Science Theater. I mean, the movie existed. It was made in like the 70s or something like that.
Okay.
And it's an episode of Mystery Science Theater.
So that was one of those freebies, sort of like, It's a Wonderful Life used to air all the time when we were growing up. And the only reason we got to see it.
Oh, like public domain?
Right.
No. I mean, it's a legitimate thing, but I think it was because it was another country and it was like made in Malaysia. They really couldn't sue them, and they weren't exactly stealing money from Eon Productions, so Eon Productions was like, well, we don't give a shit.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know. See, I mean, I guess here's the thing. If somebody were to come to us today and say, oh, we want to buy the entirety of the Chubby and Stick catalog.
All 30 shows.
And have rights, all the couple dozen that we got out there.
I've had people ask me about going to do stage stuff, by the way, at club.
Uh-oh. Ooh.
Said we should do that, but
like
go
just
ahead.
A stick
I didn't mean to.
Or
I mean,
chubby
just, I'm just telling you that's what somebody asked me about just the other day. But go ahead.
Well, who knows? But I mean, if they asked for that, because here's the thing: you and I can talk about nonsense. We could just look at the current events, and we'd have shit to talk about.
Yes, we should be able to make a living doing that.
Yeah, I would sell for. I mean, honest to God, I mean, now if it was in perpetuity, you couldn't use anything previously to today, and you can't mind that or anything, I would hold out for more. But if somebody just said, hey, we want to make the Kevin Carr Life story, God, I'd probably sell out for like $100,000. I mean,
you're too cheap, man. You know what? You're daytime.
I'm a whore, man.
You are the
daytime low rent stage entertainer. I am the daytime whore. I am the truck stop hooker.
I'm telling
who walks around
you know, that's
the lounge
like,
lizard. At
for day. Seriously, for $100,000, forever and always, you could never tell another story. The life of Chubby
and a Popeye's chicken sandwich. Yeah, I mean that's how that's
you got to bring your own bun every, now. But that they didn't even pay us for that. But
no,
it'd be nice.
I would negotiate the fucking bun on that and the Chick-fil-A one because then I would finally get the definitive which one's better.
Well, we can talk about chicken sandwiches another day because
It's going to be Popeye's.
I'll tell you something right now, and I eat the Wendy's all the time. Popeye's I found by accident before all the damn hubbub started. I just happened to be driving through thinking dirty rice and a three-piece, and all of a sudden there's a picture of a sandwich.
That sounds like that could also be something like the Dirty Sanchez, the Cleveland Steamer, or the Space Dock.
I lived in New Orleans. Anything is possible. I found it, and I literally could hear like the angels from the heaven above. I literally pulled over in the parking lot and ate it, and I could hear, it was unbelievable.
It was a religious experience, ironically, not from Chick-fil-A.
Right. It was Popeye.
You've been listening to the Chubby and Stick Show.
Copyright Kevin Carr and Sterling Radio. Subscribe to and rate the Chubby and Stick podcast on iTunes.
Like and subscribe to the Chubby and Stick Show on YouTube.
Contact the show and hit up Chubby and Stick on Twitter.
At Kevin Carr and at Sterling Radio. Music by MichaelBard.com. Credits voiced by Joe Jewett. I'm at DeborahBenner.com.
Thanks for listening to the Chubby and Stick Show, and keep keeping it real.